Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hey, Michael. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great.
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 Having a great life.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
I am, too.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what the cause of yours is, but I heard myself say to somebody the other day, if you don't care where you are and you don't care what you're doing, it's easy to have a great life. I don't know if that's part of it for you or if you have another explanation for why your life is so great.
I don't have an explanation.
Just a great life.
A great life. It seems to me sometimes that, in my experience, looking for explanations feels like sometimes makes it go away.
Oh. That's interesting. Huh.
Like if I go to my conditioned mind and try to figure out, why am I happy? What is it that's causing this?
Mm-hmm.
Seems
then you're in conditioned mind and happiness is bye-bye.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sherry, you're going to be doing some traveling. I see from your calendar here.
Yes.
And you're going to be in Esalen in mid-July.
That's correct. Beautiful Esalen. What are the dates?
July 11th to the 16th.
11th to the 16th. I think that it's like a Sunday to a Friday, I think. Something like that. Sunday evening till Friday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing place. Have you been?
I have not.
Truly astounding. It's kind of California at its best.
And,
you know, just pure, sheer physical beauty.
Uh-huh.
Quite a special place. And I was just in Carmel last week. We were doing one of our vacation retreats.
Yes.
Where we do a combination of just that, retreat and vacation. So we're doing introspective processes and we're meditating and doing conscious eating and spending part of the day in silence, and then we do things like go sea kayaking and hiking and go to the aquarium and things like that. And
yes.
People were asking me about Esalen, and I said, oh, Esalen is absolutely a vacation retreat because the only part that I do, I do the sessions during the day. The rest of the time, you know, people are just out and about and doing what they're doing. Of course, they're hot tubs over the Pacific Ocean and massages and all kinds of body work and like that. So definitely a vacation retreat.
Sounds fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of that retreat is When You're Falling, Dive, Acceptance, Freedom, and Possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a good subject.
Yes, which is also the title of your most recent book.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I think after that, the next stop is Zambia.
Zambia.
I think so. I think Zambia and then back to Carmel for a monk retreat.
Yes.
Monk retreat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Zambia.
Well, Zambia, very exciting. We've just purchased a house there for 8 orphans, and we get to go and help get the house together. We get to meet the children and start a garden and, you know, meet the rest of the people in the community and see what other projects we might get involved with, what else the community needs, and maybe even look into the next house that we might be purchasing there and who the next family, parents or grandmother or whatever it is, might be for the next group of orphans.
Uh-huh.
So we will all be taking cameras, and we'll come back with lots of pictures of house and kids and adoptive parents and grandmothers and all of that sort of thing, and hopefully also have dates for our first retreat where we'll actually be taking folks over, and we're talking about being over there for a month and then having people be able to come over for a 2-week stay, be on retreat there for 2 weeks and do essentially what we're doing, get to know the the folks and pitch in and help in whatever way, and get computers up and running and folks on the internet, and start teaching kids about the computer and classes and various things and like that. Mm-hmm. Our extended family.
Exciting. And for people who may not be familiar with this project, can you give a little overview of the big picture?
Kind of how we came to it, or
yeah, and sort of the situation with AIDS in Africa.
Oh yeah, it's we started out in Zimbabwe, and which was where my heart was first drawn, and we're still doing work there, but it's really not possible for us to go to Zimbabwe at this point. The political climate is just so bad, and so we are still sending money in to people who are there and working with the children and the families, and they are still, you know, in spite of all efforts to stop it, they're managing to find food enough to provide folks with a meal a day, and you know, finding clothes and medical help and that sort of thing. So the work is continuing there, and we don't know when we'll actually be able to be physically present with them again. So when I was in Assisi at the beginning of the year, I met Brother John, a Zambian Franciscan friar, and we, over the course of several weeks together, talking about Africa and the tremendous need there and the work that he was doing before he was brought to Assisi by the church for a year-long stint, and a little community of meditators all talking about the need there, and we just decided that we would get involved with him, and so that's how this project came about, and probably most of our energy and our attention is going to turn towards Zambia for the near, you know, the next little while until we can get back into Zimbabwe.
Yeah,
we're very excited about it, and I'm particularly excited about the prospect of being able to bring people there for meditation retreats, for work retreats, and also there's a real possibility of this whole community that Brother John is involved with. We can actually pair up, connect families with these children, and they can do the, you know, sponsoring, adopting a child and get that child into school and provide clothing and food and that sort of thing, even though the child would not be in an actual home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just such a, just that is an unbelievable gift for one of these children who has absolutely no future at all without that kind of assistance.
Yes.
So it's been a very exciting project. And, of course, you know, there's lots of folks are doing this, tremendous amounts of work being done for people by people from all over the world, and it's just great fun to be a part of it, to be you know, attempting to offer our little piece to alleviate some of the problems.
Yes, it's heartwarming to me.
It really is. It's makes life good.
yes. Sherry, I wanted to mention one more retreat that you're going to be leading, and that's at the monastery at the end of this month from June 30th to July 4th.
That's correct. What the Buddha taught.
What the Buddha taught. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah. It's always good to go back and look at that just as a kind of a little reference point for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Good to check in. I find that as my practice grows and deepens, it's fun and helpful to go back to the basics and see what things mean now after more years of practice. Things that I might not have understood a few years ago, I might have missed, and it's great fun to do it as a group, because we get, you know, the very people who are just starting practice and then people who've been practicing for a long time. So it's can produce some wonderful conversations.
Yes. Exciting. All of this information and more is on Sherry's website, and that is sherryhuber.com. That's spelled C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.com. And we also have archives of this radio show on that website also. If you want to email us, you can reach us at openair@kzsu.org. And we'd love to hear from you by email. And we'd love to hear from you by phone also. And I have good news. The phone
What's that phone number?
The phone lines are open. And the phone number is, get your pencil ready, 650-723-9010. That's a free call if you're in a local area code here. 650-723-9010. The phone lines are open, and we'd love to talk with you today. So give us a call. Coming up at 6 p.m. today, we have DJ Decca with her trademark world music. So stay tuned for that also. Sherry, we had a call last week, and a conversation that you had really stuck in my mind. And that conversation was about sort of seeing life as a roller coaster and being on that roller coaster and sort of the illusion of getting on and off that roller coaster.
Thinking that it's possible to
yes.
get off?
Yes. That was really big for me, the way you talked about that.
Can you say more about that?
Well, it seems like when I'm in my conditioned mind, I believe that I can sort of participate in life or not participate. And what
yeah,
you,
it seems like we're at choice, doesn't it?
Yes.
When we're looking through conditioning's lens.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you sort of poked a big hole in that, I noticed. Because, you know, I'm here. I'm living, and this is my chance.
Boy, and that phrasing to me captures it.
Mm-hmm.
This is my chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about you, but and maybe it's just my line of work, but I run into so many people, and not just in conversations, but things that I'm reading and just being around in society, that so many people seem to feel like life is a burden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, another miserable day to get through. Well, I slog through that. I survived that.
Uh-huh.
And how much more of this am I going to have to put up with? And to realize, you know, I don't know another way to say this. I always get to this place, but, you know, we're going to be dead really soon, and we're going to be dead for a really long time. And this is my chance.
Yes.
Golly! You know, it can be anything I want it to be. This is my, you know, the stage is there, the lights are up, you know, it's my turn out there on the stage.
Yes.
In front of the lights.
Yes.
To do whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Mm-hmm. It's so huge. And being casual about even a moment of it is just I sense the regret that people are going to feel when it finally dawns on them how fleeting this is.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that phrase. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, this is my chance.
This is my chance. Yes. Another image that comes to mind for me along those lines is, you know, a flower blooming. And it's so beautiful, and it seems like it's just always going to be that way. And then in a couple days, it's passed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, the technology or manufacturing or whatever it is, I mean, some amazing artificial flowers can be produced. But, you know, it's just not the same.
It's just not the same. That's true.
And it's that, to me, it's exactly that it's so fleeting. This beautiful thing is here for such a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
How can we, you know, how can we not be in awe? How can we not be moved and inspired and thrilled by its presence?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and the phone lines are open here, so give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. That phone number is 650-723-9010. Again, that's 650-723-9010. Because I know you're thinking about calling. So pick up the phone.
We know there's something you want to say.
We know there's something you want to say, and we want to hear it.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good combination, isn't it?
Yes.
We just started an email class yesterday, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's that tomorrow morning will be the first morning because, you know, we do the assignment on Monday, and then Tuesday people start writing in, and so tomorrow morning is the one that I'm going to be up, you know, before dawn at the computer and reading the responses and writing to folks, and it's just so, I get so excited. I don't have to make myself get up early. So it's just, I can't sleep. It's like about 4 a.m. My eyes just pop open and go, yes! Run over to that computer because I want to know what people are saying.
Yes.
It's very fun. Sangha. You know, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha, the three jewels
that
the Buddha offered us. So awakening or enlightenment, the teaching, the practice, and Sangha, the people with whom we practice. And those are the three jewels or three aspects of one jewel. And that's so my experience. Sangha is just the most precious thing. I think when sometimes, at least for me, and with other people that I talk to, we start out with a practice like this, and what we really want is enlightenment. Let's face it, and we're desperate for any information about that. You know, so I want to read everything I can get my hands on. I want to talk everybody's ears off about it, and you know, I mean, I'm after that enlightenment. And then after a while, after we settle into practice a little bit and some of that urgency passes,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like getting older. You know, it's suddenly it's more who we're with. You know, that sense of family or that sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are always there for us, who
yes.
keep showing up, and you know, we can see each other putting on the years, you know, and
yes.
and that Sangha family.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that passes about, oh, I can't talk about this, or I don't want people to know that about me, or you know, I'm the only one who this. I mean, we've just shared so much together that there aren't any secrets, there aren't any surprises. There's just love.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, in my experience, it's really wonderful, that sense of sharing all of my stuff and seeing everyone else do the same thing. And it's, you know, it's hard to avoid the fact that we're all the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the more acceptance there is for our own struggles and our own journey of transformation, the more, I don't know, dear, that sweetness about everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will often say this to the monks. I probably shouldn't give away these kinds of trade secrets, but we'll be talking about somebody who's new to the practice, and I'll hear myself say, you know, in a few months, you know, because you can just see that, like it, back to your image of the flower.
Yes.
You know, you can just see that bud starting
yes.
to open.
Yes.
And there's that sense of what a beautiful creature this is going to be in just a really short time.
Yes.
You know, you can already see it, but the person, him or herself, isn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when that internal shift happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sense of self-acceptance and then the person just begins to glow. And
mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've touched on something that's exciting to me, and that is how quickly practice transformation can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people get started, and the conditioned voices are, oh, my God, I'm not going to live long enough. This is going to take forever. It's too hard.
Yes.
But really, it's shockingly fast, isn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
Why aren't they calling us then?
That's a good question. Let me give out the number again.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
650-723-9010. Call us. Make our day.
Although I always enjoy talking with you. So,
yes,
you know,
yes.
I'm not feeling a lack.
Yes, I'm frantically scribbling ideas here so that we don't run out of stuff to talk about.
Oh, right.
I
just don't think we have to fear that.
Yes. So tell us about peace and the email class.
Well, yes. This first class, of course, is I was talking with folks about what I began to realize as I started talking to people about peace and ran into so much negativity and resistance and
mm-hmm.
and what I projected was fear, just really threatened in some way by the notion of peace, and beginning to suspect that as a culture, as a people, we really don't have a good idea of what peace is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's war, and then there's the opposite of war, which is peace. So when we're not at war, we're at peace. But it sort of looks a lot like war without armed conflict.
Yes.
And so to have a real experience of peace, a profound internal experience of peace, and to begin to live from that in the world, I just don't think a lot of us in this culture have a sense of what that is, what that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's so much about peace that is the same attitudes that we have toward acceptance. You know, that it's passive, it's weak, it's an attitude of defeat. It's kind of what losers are concerned about. You know, losers are concerned about acceptance and peace
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. Vital, strong, robust people are not concerned about peace. So if we don't, you know, if that's our definition, then we must always be at war.
Yes.
Yeah, if those are our two choices, then it seems to me we would have to choose war. We'd have to choose to be constantly in a state of violence or aggression, because that's the experience of being strong and powerful. And
mm-hmm.
And if the other, if when we're at peace, we become weak and passive and then we're vulnerable, we're defenseless, we're,
mm-hmm.
this is not an experience that most people want to have. So how do we find within ourselves and begin to live as a society that idea of a strong, vital, robust, connected, engaged, intelligent, aware individual
mm-hmm.
who is not violent, who lives from caring and compassion and interconnectedness, who is not threatened, who is strong within, who is not afraid, who
mm-hmm.
has faced internal fears and isn't concerned about lack or loss or
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So a whole new possibility for being
uh-huh.
human that I think we're going to close in on. I hope so anyway.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Sherry, I have good news. We have a caller, and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to bring our caller on the air. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we've lost our one caller. Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Sherry, I was thinking earlier when we were talking about the five steps that you sometimes talk about in terms of watching the process that goes on within us. And I've always found that really valuable, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to step through that.
Yes. Now,
I'm talking about...
I feel like the Buddha here with this. Is this the three characteristics of the three jewels? Is this the eightfold path or the Four Noble Truths? Do you mean the first there's movement, then there's sensation?
Yes.
Or do you mean beliefs, assumptions?
Movement, sensation.
A thought about it.
Yes.
An emotional reaction to it, and
yes,
a conditioned behavior that goes with it.
Yes.
Yeah. And to realize that we are almost always in that cycle somewhere, and that most of the time we are in an overlapping cycle. So there's movement, and what that essentially means is that life is in movement all the time. There's just, we live in a world of vibration, and everything is in flux. So life moves, and our physical self experiences that as sensation. And those sensations get tied early on before we've had much of a chance to think about it or understand it or look into these things. Those sensations get tied to a label, to a thought, that it means something. And then, because of whatever was going on when we made that connection, put that sensation and that label together, there's an emotional reaction that goes with it. I'm afraid, or I'm angry, or I'm happy. I like that. I'm closing down. I'm threatened by that. And then there's a behavior that goes with it. I do something to cope with whatever it is that I'm feeling and the story that I'm telling myself, what it means and what I think that this is going to mean for my well-being or my survival. And so I'm going along, and there's the movement and the sensation, and I have thought about it. I have an emotional reaction. The emotional reaction triggers another set of sensations, and that triggers another story, another set of labels, and then I'm into behavior, which could be simply a thought pattern about how I'm going to get out of this, how I'm going to save myself, and that triggers another emotional reaction, which triggers another set of labels, which... So it gets very, very active, and for most folks, really confusing. And of course, what we can do in response to that is just notice, just pay attention, just watch it. Just watch it, and as we watch it, two things happen. One, we are beginning to watch it from center. So it occurs to us to pay attention. We're present. We're in the moment when it occurs to us to pay attention. And very quickly, conditioning might try to pull us back out into another conversation about what's wrong or how this isn't going to work or whatever. But as we practice more, as our meditation practice deepens, we can, for longer and longer periods of time, just stay here with the breath, present, and watching what's going on. And as we do that, everything begins to slow down. And we begin to question the assumptions that we're making about how all of this works. So my heart is pounding like crazy. Well, maybe that doesn't mean I'm in danger. Maybe I don't need to be making plans to escape. Maybe my heart is just pounding really fast. Maybe I could just sit and breathe and see what happens to that. And as I sit and breathe, you know, my heart rate slows down and my breathing becomes deeper and more regular and that sort of thing. And then I can watch a thought come through. Well, yeah, but that doesn't solve the problem. Boom! The adrenaline shoots through my body, and the heart starts going again, and the breath gets shallow, and I can just watch how these patterns and cycles work. And as I'm watching them, my tendency to want to buy into them and believe them is fading away.
Mm-hmm.
And more, I'm just interested in being here, breathing, watching it all happen, not believing that it means anything,
mm-hmm.
seeing how it's just habit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just conditioned that way. I'm not. I don't need to take it personally. I didn't make it up. I didn't decide this. And everything just kind of slows and settles in a sort of a peaceful, pleasant way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So those sensations, though they might seem really strong, might not be giving us good information.
Yeah.
To act on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was 3 years old, the neighbor's dog got scared by the balloon that I was playing with and got confused and ran at me and tried to bite me. Okay, so here mm-hmm. I am, you know, 35 years old, and every time I see a dog, I start getting panicky. Now, that's a really obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, all of that sensation and label and emotional reaction and behavior can still be operating, even though we know rationally and logically that there's no reason for this. This doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of a, you know, an obvious one. But there are so many of them going on with us all the time that are not obvious like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that we really have to sit still and learn to pay very close attention to begin to see our way through so that we're not just automatically reacting.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It takes a while of sitting still so that it becomes clear to us what might be going on.
And, of course, you know, the real secret is usually there's nothing going on.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we've got all these habit patterns that keep us in this stressful kind of panicked state,
mm-hmm.
Urgent and fearful and feeling bad. And really, in most cases, in most people's lives, most of the time, there's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what's going on here is the lights are flashing.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, we have a caller. I'd like to welcome Sarah from Portland. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
So I'm calling because I want to talk about something you probably heard and this, you know, to death, but... I want to talk about body image and weight.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a personal trainer and have been involved in a spiritual practice for a couple of years and really began to see how my work and a lot of my life has been around maintaining some external appearance about what our society considers acceptable.
Uh-huh.
And in, you know, the last year has been really an opportunity for me to see if I can begin to let go of that. And in doing so, I'm also beginning to go through menopause, and my body is changing, whether I wish it to or not. And I'm realizing most recently, I guess, how I'm finding myself going back into wanting to exercise a lot and begin to look at my eating again and feeling like I'm getting sucked back into the whole drama of my body image and my
uh-huh.
weight.
Uh-huh.
And I'd really like some advice, perhaps, or guidance on... know how to begin to really look at this, the truth of it, and how to begin to break these patterns,
yeah.
and not find myself being drawn into it. It's challenging because, of course, my work is being around people who are looking for this same antidote.
Right. Yes, they have paid you. They're paying you to accomplish for them what you are to deal with for them, what you are struggling with inside yourself.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's a tough one, isn't it? This is, I don't know if you know this, but this is a subject about which I am extremely passionate. And there are just so many directions that we can go with it. But one of the things that I like so much about it is that it's such a perfect example of it's not what, it's how. So one of the sayings that I like best about this kind of work that we do is that this is what, from a centered place, I would say to myself,
okay.
I love you exactly as you are, and I will help you be any way you want to be. And to me, that captures what we're going for. Okay? So
okay.
Here I am. I want to be a certain way. Okay? I want to, let's just, in broad general terms, you know, I want to be, I want to look the best that I can look. I want to feel the best that I can feel. Is that good? Does that cover it right
yes.
there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I can either do that from a self-hating place, or I can do that from a completely compassionate, loving place.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So I was just reading an article that somebody gave me. It was from like 10 years ago. And the fellow, I was trying to figure out from the article, I figured 10 years ago he was about 63. And what he was looking at is how the conscious aging movement, you know, the spiritual approach to aging, left out the component of physical well-being.
Uh-huh.
It's like if you're going to be a spiritual person, whew, thank God we can leave the body behind.
And I think that was what I've been thinking I need to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because now you're spiritual. And,
right.
You know, it's so sad because the poor body is always left out of the equation. Have you noticed that? When you're young, the body is just there to help you be as driven as you want to be toward all of the things that that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's just, it really is this kind of animal that's just ridden hard, you know, used in every way that we want to use it for whatever it is that we want to use it for. And then for an awful lot of people, as it begins to get tired and sort of worn out from disrespect and bad care, there's this resentment that the body is no longer willing or able to just do my bidding.
No, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do we take all of that into account? Then, of course, being female, although I think that this is true for a good number of men, too, the expectation that you're going to be attractive, you know, that there's that component. So weight being a huge issue for women. How do we take that, put all of that into the mix, and find the place that is most compassionate to all? How do we find the place of conscious, compassionate awareness that instead of, to me, this is the part where I get really passionate, instead of leaving the body out and leaving it behind, where is the place that truly includes it? From a place of respect, from a place of gratitude and honoring.
Mm-hmm.
So to really take care of the body and let it be the best body that it can possibly be, to give it all of the support for that without an ounce of self-hate involved.
Okay.
Now you can do that, right?
I believe I can.
Yeah. Yes, and because isn't that what you actually want for your clients?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In fact, if I had a parallel life, that's what I would do. I started out saying that I would do work with people for fitness over 50. Mm-hmm. But being around in our culture, I realized, no, it's over 40.
Exactly. Because,
yeah, because so many people are disconnected from their bodies in ways that are really scary and dangerous. And I don't buy any of this cultural stuff about especially about the body. I don't buy any of the cultural stuff about anything, but especially about the body. What the body is capable of, what the body wants, what makes the body happy. I think we've listened to conditioned mind about that for so long that it's going to take us a long time to sort out what is actually so.
Well, this has been most helpful.
Good. Will you let me know?
Oh, I certainly will.
Yeah, how this goes for you, because I just want to find out what you figure out about it, because I think the body, I'll just tell you this. I think the body wants to be 20 years old.
Oh, yes. Well, I studied dance as a young girl and in college, and I saw myself in front of a mirror for so many years that I have this image of what I'm supposed to look like, and any deviation from that is frankly not acceptable.
Yes, yes. And
go ahead.
Well, then we get into that place of, is that, for whom is that an issue? See, what so often it turns into is, and so that means self-hatred. Okay?
Right.
So the mind is in charge of the body. The body doesn't look right. And then it cycles into this often obsession about food, unwillingness to exercise. The body is changing, and that means I'm a bad person, and the self-hate is just heaped on. But what if, in fact, the body wants to have a particular experience? Can you help the body have the experience that it wants? And I don't for a second believe that what the body wants is to, to just be let go.
Sure.
To get to that point of saying, okay, body, you're not of a breeding age any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's time to be out to pasture. Now you can just get wide in the girth, and it doesn't really matter. I think that comes from conditioned mind. I don't think that comes from the body.
Okay.
But I'd love to hear what you get to about that.
I will definitely report to you.
Okay.
Thank
Good.
You so very much.
You're very welcome. Good
Thank
night.
Thank you, Michael, for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Sarah. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, it occurred to me that there are a number of people who owe us phone calls back on where they are.
Yes,
with
yeah.
what they've called
yes,
us about.
I'm hoping that they're taking copious notes and they're gonna report to us on their projects.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, and I really am passionate about this one. I just think it's such a I can't really get to exactly what it is that I find so difficult about the way our society is with bodies and health and the way it feeds into self-hatred and that whole idea that what accepting my body means is that then I can eat all the junk food I want and sit in front of the television and it's my job to accept a body that is not being supported or nurtured, that's not healthy, that doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think those signals of, I'm not happy with this, are signaling a real experience. It's not just, oh, that's conditioned self-hatred based on body image, and so I just need to get over that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. So there's the person who's overweight.
Mm-hmm.
The conventional wisdom is there's something really wrong with you, you need to get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
And then what follows that is this pseudo self-acceptance that says that's just the way it is, that's just the way you are. The important thing is to accept yourself as you are.
Uh-huh.
Well, the important thing is to accept yourself. Okay, and mm-hmm. I would say as you are. That's really important, to accept
yes.
yourself as you are. And then there's that little line about, I love you exactly as you are, and I will help you be however you want to be.
Yes.
So to have self-acceptance mean, I don't feel, you know, the voices of self-hatred are talking me out of going for a walk.
Yes.
And exercising. And in order to accept myself, that has to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the body really gets caught in the crossfire of that.
Uh-huh.
Because I think bodies are made to be healthy
yes.
and active and vital and vibrant and all
mm-hmm.
of those things that we were talking about.
Yes.
And left to themselves, that's what they want to be. So there's the person living a lifestyle that is sedentary and stressful and filled with the temptation of unhealthy food,
mm-hmm.
and now the body is overweight, and it doesn't feel well, and it's not healthy, and now we're going to bring in a lifelong self-acceptance that
mm-hmm.
says, you know, this is how you are. I don't think it is how you are.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it is.
Uh-huh.
I think it's how conditioned mind would make us,
mm-hmm.
but it's not what our authentic nature is drawn to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As you were talking, I had the image of conditioned mind sort of taking this notion of self-acceptance and just using it for its own purposes.
Yeah. That fellow in that article that I was referring to earlier, I'm actually going to, I brought the information home because I want to contact him, and I hope he's still around, and I hope he still has this as an issue, because he was very troubled by this this idea that spirituality means you just let the body go to rack and ruin. And and I want to see, you know, where, if I can contact him, where he got to with that. What's happened to him in the last 10 years about that?
Mm-hmm.
Because if part of what the article was talking about was an interview with Ram Dass, and in which Ram Dass was talking about how awful his diet was and how fat he'd gotten. And but, you know, kind of with this attitude of, oh, well, that's just the way it is, and, you know, there's no sense in fighting this kind of thing. And, of course, he subsequently had a stroke.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm sure everybody around him, even then, who loved him, was wishing that he would clean up his diet and get some exercise and lose that weight and that sort of thing. So is it more spiritual to lose interest in the body if the Zen perspective is accurate, excuse me, that body and mind are one? How can we lose interest in the body?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, wouldn't we want it all to be as perfect a vehicle for life force
mm-hmm.
as is possible, and
uh-huh.
again, without stepping over a line into self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
mm-hmm.
it through love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the place we always get to, as with a child.
Yes.
You know, I want my child to be healthy. That doesn't mean never having a piece of cake or never having ice cream, but it certainly means not living on those things.
Yes.
Yeah, having yes. the primary nutrition come from clean, fresh, healthy foods, and periodically we take forays into things that we know are not really good for us, and they feed the soul in a certain way. They meet other needs than strictly physical needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So back to, it's not what, it's how.
Yes.
The attitude of mind behind it. So if in, as our caller was saying, you know, if going through different stages of life, you know, I put on extra weight, okay, well, good. There's something that's what I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make sure the body is healthy and happy and at its very best?
Mm-hmm.
And that might include keeping those few extra pounds, in which case, if self-hatred comes up around that, that's what I deal with. But
yes,
it might be that self-hatred is what is putting those pounds on.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then there's always an opportunity to look at how life is being filtered.
Mm-hmm.
So who's putting mm-hmm. what spin on what?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
It's coming
subtler.
From center, or is it coming from conditioning?
Yes, yes. Sherry, we are approaching the end of our hour here.
How is that possible?
How is that possible? It's been a pleasure.
I've enjoyed every second of it myself.
Do you have any homework or?
Yes, all those people who were supposed to call and report back need to call and report back.
Yes.
And those who haven't received a homework assignment, which would be the caller we had tonight, right?
Yes.
That's the assignment for tonight too.
Yes.
Let us know how you're doing.
Yes.
Because again, that's the value of Sangha. You know, we get together and we look at these things and we talk about them and we practice. We go away into our lives. We practice with them. We pay attention. We see more things. This is where I am now. This is what I've seen now. We talk about that, and then we go off and we take the next steps. And that's the support that we can be for one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Good.
It's wonderful.
Have a fabulous week.
Thank you.
See you
Thank
next
you.
Time.
See you next time. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and our caller today. We have Jay and Aparna here today, and they've done a fabulous job.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes. I'm grateful
Always
for their
appreciate
help.
Them.
Always appreciate them, yes. If you want to email us before next week, give us a call. Send us an email at openair@kzsu.org and check out sherryhuber.com, spelled CHERIHUBER.com for archives of the show and for a full schedule of where you can see Sherry and be with Sherry. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.